Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On a rainy Thursday afternoon in the upstate, wherever you are going, certainly as the 5 o'clock commute begins to fire up out there. I don't know what it's doing where you are in the greater upstate of South Carolina, Gray, but right now, outside our window here on Garlington and Woodruff, it is coming down, my friend.
That you're right, Price. That storm came out of nowhere. 3:45, I was in the parking lot. I walk in the studio, and all of a sudden, it's just a sheet of rain.
Man, I was sitting in the office back there doing some last-minute prep, and as I drove in, I got here about an hour ago, right at 3 o'clock, and it was sunny, it was steamy, it was nasty like it's been with the dog days of summer officially finally here as we got a little bit of a reprieve in the month of June, but it was sunny a little bit ago. I'm sitting back in the office, and next thing you know, getting ready to head up down the hall to walk in here in the studio, and dadgummit, man, I heard something outside. I said, what is that? What is that noise? Sure enough, walking in here right at 4:01, 4:02 when Greg and the boys got done, it is coming down out there. So, folks, be careful wherever you are. We'll keep you posted. Certainly, we will pass along any kind of weather alerts. I know we've got one that will be coming up here. Greg's working on shortly. Speaking of working on, let's go ahead and get to today's lineup. As I'll be in today and tomorrow. I've been out in Atlanta, Gray, the last 3 days. Got back yesterday, last night. Fun time in Atlanta with the family as my wife did the Peachtree Road Race for the first time on Tuesday. Now, she did the race. I had our two kids, our 4 and 6 year olds. So I have to get them to the MARTA station, get them off the MARTA station, and then not just get them off. We got to hike about a mile from the station down as close as you can get to the finish line where they actually wrap you around Grady High School over to Piedmont Park where the finish line is. But, man, it was an utter zoo. I have not been over there for that 10K, the Peachtree Road Race, in several years. But it was a zoo. It was fun, but it was also very, very hot. Very hot. I'm proud of my wife, though. She finished in the top, I think 40, somewhere in the 4,500 range out of about 60,000 runners. So,
well, mathematically, that's pretty good.
Yeah, you look at the numbers. I think she was 163rd in her age group out of, I think, about 3,000 or 4,000. So, yeah, it was. I'm trying to get back in the saddle after the 4th of July holiday. I hope you had a good one, Gray. I hope all our listeners did, too. So I'm getting my feet back on the ground today here in studio as I have a love-hate relationship with the city of Atlanta. There's so many great things about the city of Atlanta, but traffic is not one of them. Thank goodness it was a holiday. It wasn't too bad the past few days over there. But I'm happy to be home in one piece. It's just good to go to Atlanta and get home in one piece. All right, let's set the table for today. Today, we got a whole lot to get into. Boy, it's talking season. Folks, it's about to begin. College football, the unofficial start to the college football season. It is Monday in Hoover as SEC Media Days will be on tap. And then Sturge and I, we will be up in Charlotte at ACC football kickoff. We will be there live on Thursday and Friday, but everything gets going in Hoover this coming Monday. Greg Sankey, he will give his State of the SEC address at about 12:30, and then it'll be Arkansas, LSU, and Tennessee hitting the ballroom to lead things off on day one. Of course, Georgia, they will be up on Tuesday, and then South Carolina. South Carolina will be one of the final few teams along with Ole Miss and Auburn. We'll give you the schedules for that here in a little bit. But today on the show at 4:35, we'll talk to Mr. College Football himself, Tony Barnhart, going to join us, talk a little SEC Media Days. He visited, I think, every SEC school this past spring, or most of them. So we'll talk with Tony Barnhart this afternoon at 4:35. At 5:05, the great one, our good friend, Danny Sheridan, USA Today handicapper and odds maker. Danny Sheridan making a little bit of news the last couple weeks with some of his odds prognostications. So we will get some of those from my man Danny Sheridan at 5:05. Dave Shore, longtime NBA veteran, announcer, broadcaster, has hosted morning shows in several cities, also does some work with ESPN Radio College Football. Dave Shore, former, most recently, the Lakers pregame show host, also did pregame and in-game reporting for the Dallas Mavericks in years past. But Dave Shore going to join us live at 6:05. Then David Hood from Tiger Net, 6:35 tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about the opening, what he saw out in Oregon from some of the Clemson targets, what he heard from some of the prospects that look to be making a decision, possibly. You always get several commitments right around Dabo Swinney's all-in cookout. That will be coming up July 21st. And ironically, several targets that Clemson has their eye on. Also looking at Ohio State, Dabo Swinney's all-in cookout and Urban Meyer's Friday Night Lights big camp. Those will be held simultaneously on the same day. That will be on July the 21st, that Friday night. So be interesting to see which way several of those commitments might go, if we might hear some of those here in a couple weeks. But a couple news and notes to get to before we get out of the gate off and running. You probably heard over the last couple days, Clemson redshirt defensive end LaSamuel Davis, he announced he would be transferring last week. Well, he indeed is headed to South Carolina State. He had offers from a lot of the big programs around the country coming out of high school, decided to sign with Clemson redshirted this past season. He will now be playing for the Bulldogs in Orangeburg. Yesterday it was announced Wofford right-handed pitcher, Gray, named Spencer Coleman, he signed a free agent contract to live out a dream with the San Diego Padres yesterday afternoon. So the right-hander from Wofford College, who was second in the Southern Conference last year with 8 wins, made 13 starts, 17 appearances, struck out 69 batters in 86 and two-thirds innings. Spencer Coleman signs a free agent deal with the San Diego Padres. And I just got word just a little bit ago, was trying to get him on the show actually today, unable to do so because Brent Williamson from over at Spartanburg told me that he is throwing a bullpen out in Arizona. So Spencer Coleman already off and running with his pro career. Speaking of Wofford, 212 student athletes, a school record for the Terriers, named to the Southern Conference Academic Honor Roll today. And as you would expect, Furman, they had several as well, and they honored 228 of their own Paladins who made the academic honor roll for the Southern Conference today. Also, it hit late last Friday, but College of Charleston, they released head baseball coach Matt Heath. He has been let go. That came down late last week. Well, Chad Holbrook, reportedly one of the leading candidates for the job there in Charleston with the Cougars. Chad Holbrook weighing an offer reportedly from Vanderbilt to be an assistant coach, but I think he's going to certainly wait and hold out to see if that head job at the College of Charleston will be in the cards. Some other candidates mentioned at the College of Charleston: Clemson assistant Bradley Lee Croy, former College of Charleston pitcher and current assistant Scott Foxhall, and then University of North Carolina assistant coach currently Scott Forbes. So several local candidates, names of note to mention in regard to the College of Charleston baseball job. Are you a big baseball fan, Gray?
I go for the Braves in the MLB, but I'd watch all the MLB. I actually got to, 3 years ago, got a good opportunity to go out and see the College World Series.
Did you? You got to go to Omaha.
I did, yes, sir.
Did you really? So you have been to one of the bucket list sporting events that's on my list. I'm not the biggest college baseball fan, but to get to go to Omaha, the chance to go out there, you got to go see something. Who did you get to see? Were you there for a full slate of games, a week or a couple days? Or
we weren't even supposed to be there, actually. It's just a kind of a swinging through overnight thing. Got to see an elimination game between Texas and UC, I think it was UC Irvine, the Anteaters.
Nice, nice. Ironically, I have never been to Omaha, but that changed this morning as I just booked a plane flight for the last week of August. I'll be out there doing some work for USA Curling for a big NBC event. It will be taped while I'm there, which I'll be helping out with, but it will not air on NBC Sportsnet until October. So my first trip to Omaha, yes, I will be headed to the Drover for a steak. I'm going to stay with a good friend of mine. He was a writer in college at the Kentucky Colonel, the Kentucky student newspaper with me, so I'm fired up to get to Omaha for the first time. Let's go ahead and take a look at the, speaking of local guys, the Greenbrier Classic getting underway up at White Sulphur Springs in West Virginia. And Ben Martin, who had a big fifth-place finish last week at the Quicken Loans outside of Washington, D.C., well, the Greenwood native and the Clemson former Clemson Tiger standout, he turns in a 6-under par 64 today. Ben Martin tied for second behind Davis Love III. Davis Love III shot a 7-under 63 as he is the leader up at the Greenbrier. Several players still out on the course. A couple other local guys to take a look at to see how they did. Scrolling down here to look at it because it has changed significantly. Phil Mickelson was a 2-under earlier today. Bill Haas shot a 1-under. Charles Howell III, he was also 1-under. Jonathan Bird also at 1-under. So some of the local guys, I'll keep you up to date. And before we go off the air, give you a final update from the Greenbrier is you got some players still out there finishing up today in round one. So we'll get into that in a little bit later. Also, you mentioned the Braves. We'll give a Braves update. The Braves, they drop another one to the red-hot Houston Astros last night. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. Give you an update on the Major League Baseball standings and also some history being made out on the West Coast last night as a former Charlotte, North Carolina native and a former Atlanta Brave, Alex Wood, he set a little mark for the L.A. Dodgers as he moved to 10-0. So we'll tell you about that in a little bit. We're going to talk a lot of SEC football today, Gray. If you want to get in with us, 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. Of course, you can text us on the text line 71307. Certainly tweet us at ESPN Upstate. You can tweet me at Price Atkinson. Myriad of ways to get in with us. Don't forget to follow us on our Facebook page and certainly the brand spanking new ESPN Upstate app. Take ESPN Upstate with you wherever you go across the upstate, around the state, the continental United States, and places far beyond. Put ESPN in your pocket. Take us with you by downloading the ESPN app from your app store on your smartphone. Guys, you can get articles, tweets, and of course, the most important part, you can listen to us live wherever you are on your smartphone. So download the ESPN app. Get it today. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into a lot of lists are coming out. It is list season. This talking season is about to begin next week. But list season is out. It was a local quarterback on a top 20 list and a local quarterback that was not on that top 20 list. And boy, it caught my attention and I was shocked. We will share it with you next. Welcome back in, Price Atkinson, here on a rainy Thursday afternoon here in the upstate. Boy, nasty out there, but that time of year, steamy as ever outside, but I see the sun starting to break out. So hop on in with us this afternoon, 844-GSP-ESPN. Of course, you can text us on the Carolina Coaches text line, 71307. Or you can tweet us at ESPN Upstate or at Price Atkinson. Hit us up. Today's show question of the day. If you are, or even if you aren't, a South Carolina Gamecocks football fan, with SEC Media Day on tap next week, how do you define success for the South Carolina Gamecocks this coming season, Gray?
Well, last year, I feel a lot of people feel like they overachieved. I mean, 6-7 overall, they did go to a bowl game. From the way most people around here were talking, you were thinking that they would only win two or three games. But Will Muschamp has come in, leveled that program out, and now he's going to try and get it to go, you know, win a few more games. Success for South Carolina. First and foremost, to me, is they've got to keep Jake Bentley upright and able to make plays.
That is an astute observation, my friend. You're exactly right, because behind him, yeah, you've got Scarnecchia behind him, but there are several other positions South Carolina's a little bit thin at, but certainly you got to keep Jake Bentley healthy. But what is success for the South Carolina Gamecocks this year? Are you a Gamecock fan? What would you like to see? What do you want to see happen? Because I'm with you, Gray. I believe South Carolina, I don't think there's any doubt. I thought they overachieved last year because I didn't think a bowl game was in the cards. But boy, was I wrong, and clearly that all had to do with Jake Bentley being inserted at the starting quarterback position with the off week before UMass. So hit us up. Let us know, what is success for South Carolina this year? I'll tell you what I think it is in the middle hour today, 844-GSP-ESPN. Certainly you can text us on the Carolina Coaches text line, 71307. Hit us up on Facebook or Twitter, but let's go ahead and hit the phones for the first time. Bob wants to talk some college football. Bob, what's happening?
Hey, Price. What's up, man?
How you doing, brother? How's it going?
I am burning up in the heat, and I tell you this. This is the thing. My job allows me to be in the heat all the time outside a lot. And so today I'm off, and I said, you know what? There's a lot of stuff I can do around the house, but I'm not. I'm going to sit in the air conditioner, and I'm going to watch TV, and I'm going to relax. So I was flipping the stations around 9 o'clock this morning and came up on ESPNU, and guess what they had on TV?
What did they have on?
Alabama Clemson National Championship replay.
Talk to me about it.
And then right behind that, they had Florida State and a couple of different games. I think it's on now. They're playing Florida State's playing UNC. But here's what I noticed. I've seen this game, I bet you, 15 times.
Okay.
And I notice different things every time I watch it. But when you know the outcome, you can actually relax and start watching it. And here's what I come up with. This is what I walked away with, what I've seen today, and I can't wait for college football. And I'm saying, you know what? This was two teams, and probably was the two best teams in the country, that refused to lose and played their heart out to the last second of the game. And so now, this coming year, they've got Alabama pick number one again, and they probably should be. I think they get Clemson 4 or 5. And who knows with the quarterback situation? It could be good. It could not be good. But now you've got Southern Cal supposedly back in the mix. You've got Ohio State that's going to be really back in the mix. So now it looks like to me, even though we had a wonderful 2016 college football season, 2017 might even be better.
It very well could. I don't know if it could be better if you're a Clemson fan out there going to the college football playoff 2 years in a row and not just making it to the playoff. You went to the national championship back-to-back seasons. And, oh, yeah, we all know what happened last year, because you're about to scare me, Bob, by telling me that the score had changed watching it for the 16th time last night. I'm glad you didn't tell me it changed, but I'm with you, brother. I mean, this season, the way it shapes up, Alabama's going to be darn good. They're going to be preseason number one. I don't think there's any secret about that. Everybody's pumping Ohio State, but I'm here to tell you, while Michigan's going to have a say in the Big Ten, I really personally believe that Penn State is the team that, if you want to call being a top six team, being a sleeper team, they're not a sleeper team, but Ohio State's getting all the ink in the Big Ten. I think Penn State is poised to knock off Ohio State this year. You look around the country, Southern Cal, are they back with Sam Darnold, the next coming of Matt Leinart, or even better out there? I mean, you got some great teams, and then here we go. I mean, you got even a guy like Phil Steele, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but Phil Steele, who writes today on ESPN.com that it is now official in his mind that the SEC has been surpassed by the ACC. I think this season sets up for a fantastic year, Bob.
Price, let me say this to you as well. They have Florida State ranked as, like, you know, one of everybody picks them to beat Clemson. Everybody picks them to be, you know, two or three behind Alabama. But here's what I noticed after watching a couple of these games today. Here again in the air conditioning. Francois is amazing. I think after his first game, he becomes his own. He's a great quarterback, no question about it. But I noticed one thing in the last, the first three, four games he played, and then it was a trend all the way through the season, they got down 14, 21 points every single game and had to find their stuff to come back and win. I don't think you can do that again this year, because I think the clock, everybody said, well, Clemson's playing with a, you know, a new quarterback and maybe not. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if the backup quarterback becomes a starter, just me. But, listen, they didn't lose anything off of defense. Clemson's defense is going to be amazing, and our wideouts are always great. Running back's good. So it's only a quarterback question. I'm not ruling Clemson out to be back again for the third time.
Yeah, I'm with you, Bob. Bob, thanks for getting in with us. And, you know, it's not out of the question that Clemson could get back. And we'll talk about that a lot tomorrow. What is success for the Clemson Tigers? But today's show question, what is success this year for the South Carolina Gamecocks? Hit us up, 844-GSP-ESPN, or text us 71307, or tweet us at ESPN Upstate at Price Atkinson. I'm with Bob. I mean, if Clemson can figure this quarterback situation out, and you got obviously a bevy of options to do so, but the defense is without a doubt, you got maybe, not maybe, you got the best defensive line in college football led by Christian Wilkins and Dexter Lawrence, a pair of All-Americans. Wilkins, who can play inside or outside, you've got depth along with it. I mean, this Clemson defense and this defensive line is going to be the calling card of this team, especially at the outset as the new quarterback is getting its feet wet. And that was something that caught my attention today, Gray, is College Football News. They came out with earlier this year or last week. I saw it today, and the reason why it didn't catch my attention is because I hadn't had time to go all the way through it. But today I did, and I saw something that caught my attention. The top 20 quarterbacks for 2017. They project the top 20 signal callers in 2017. Number 20 was maybe the most shocking name on the list. Forget rankings. At number 20, best quarterbacks coming into college football in 2017, Kelly Bryant, Clemson University.
Really?
Number 20.
Hmm.
All right, guys, I respect Pete Futak and what they do at the College Football News. Everybody's got an opinion. God knows I got mine, and I know you do too, Gray. But Kelly Bryant is the 20th best quarterback in college football. Seriously? Now, maybe at the end of the season he may look to be one, but coming into the year, and they write, Kelly Bryant Jr., Clemson. Remember, there was a concern about replacing Taj Boyd not all that long ago. Bryant won't be Deshaun Watson, but he'll be fabulous. I don't know about you. I haven't seen enough about Kelly Bryant to think he's going to be fabulous. I know Dabo Swinney said right now that's their starting quarterback. I still believe that Hunter Johnson, before it all said and done, is going to have a say-so, and Zarek Cooper. Those two guys are going to be right there with Kelly Bryant. I don't think Kelly Bryant finishes the season as the Clemson starting quarterback. I just personally don't. I don't think his arm is what you need. I think Hunter Johnson has proven to be a lot more athletic than he may have appeared, and his ability to run the football, not like he's Kelly Bryant, but he's also not a stone statue. I can't believe Kelly Bryant was number 20, and I really couldn't believe that Jake Bentley from South Carolina was not even listed on the list. You had guys like Brandon Wimbush Jr. at Notre Dame listed as number 19. Folks, Jared Stidham, now I think Jared Stidham is a little bit overhyped. I know how good he was coming out of high school, but the transfer down at Auburn, who everybody is hyping, and why a lot of people think Auburn is simply going to be back and overtake Alabama as the upset in the SEC West, they've got Jared Stidham all the way down at number 17. You move on up the list. Logan Woodside at Toledo, 14. Josh Allen, number 12 from Wyoming. Brett Rippon Jr. from Boise State, number 11. Now, I'm not pointing those out to say they're not good players, because they're very good players. But I was just really surprised to see a couple names this far down the list. DeAndre Francois, number 15. Justin Hebert, taking over at Oregon, sophomore, 16. But Kelly Bryant at number 20, and Jake Bentley was not, and I'm not trying to pump South Carolina, I'm not trying to pump Jake Bentley, But let's face the facts. What have you seen on the field from Kelly Bryant that Jake Bentley has not done? Are you kidding me? That is ridiculous. Again, this is list season. This is what we do this time of year. We are trying to come up with talking points. The talking is going to really begin in earnest next week. But until we get to this point, until we get to next week, we're dealt with, you know, top 10, top 15, top 20 list season. And I just couldn't believe Kelly Bryant was listed at 20 and Jake Bentley did not even find a home in the top 20. I'm sorry. I just don't believe that. Jake Eason wasn't even listed on the list. All right, seriously? All right. Let's go ahead and get out of here. The man, Tony Barnhart, one of the Hall of Famers, one of the best college football writers and columnists in the land from Gridiron Now, our good friend Tony Barnhart. He's coming up next here on Straight Up with Sturge. Welcome back in. Price Atkinson here with you on a Thursday afternoon, sitting in for our vacationing fearless leader somewhere out to sea, breathing that warm saltwater air somewhere out in the Atlantic Cope. Our man Mark B. Sturgis is having some fun, but let's go ahead and have some fun ourselves with one of the very best, the Hall of Famer, college football writer, broadcaster, columnist from the SEC Network, gridironnow.com. You can check out him and everything online, TonyBarnhart.com, Mr. College Football. You follow him on Twitter, at Mr. CFB. Tony, what's happening this afternoon?
Well, Price, I'm looking at my desk here, and it is covered with stuff that between now and Monday morning, I got to read and put into some kind of coherent form. So I guess we're getting close to SEC Media Day.
Yeah, talking season is upon us, my friend. When we last saw you, we were down there in Tampa Radio Row getting ready, and boy, did we see a fantastic finish in college football game when the season ended for 2016. We get ready to turn the page to 2017 now, Tony. And, I mean, some things are a given every year at SEC Media Days. Nick Saban, he's going to come armed with a message, maybe a political talking point, something he wants to hammer home. Dan Mullen with some shiny, sporty new kicks of his. Jim McElwain, sockless. What's something you've got your eye on ahead of next week in Hoover? Because I know there's a whole lot of storylines abound.
Well, I'm looking forward to Coach Ed Orgeron getting up there. He did it when he was at Ole Miss, but now he's got a new lease on life as the head coach at LSU. And I had a great visit with him when I went to see him in the spring. And anytime a new sort of a new first year coach gets in there, it's always an experience. And we'll see what Coach O has to say.
Yeah, great piece you had on gridironnow.com. Coach O feeling at home down there on the bayou. And the tradition I would hope he might carry along from Les Miles, you just couldn't beat the Les Miles Miles family vacation report that the former LSU coach always delivered at the beginning of his monologue. That's something I would hope maybe Coach O might bring along with him, but I'm not going to hold my breath, Tony.
Well, hopefully Coach O didn't do what Coach Miles did and try to catch for his daughter, who's a softball player, and break three of his toes because he's wearing flip-flops, okay? Hopefully he doesn't make that same mistake.
Absolutely. All right, as we're talking with Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football himself. Follow Tony on Twitter, at Mr. CFB. And let's get to it, Tony. You've been around the SEC the entire league this spring. Let's start in Athens right now. The expectations couldn't be higher. So much experience is back for Kirby Smart in year two. How much better does the offensive line have to be this season to meet these high expectations in advance to Atlanta?
A lot. They were not very good last year at times, and you got two great running backs, but if you can't, and Nick Chubb and Sony Michel, but if you can't block for them, you really can't take advantage of it. I mean, they lost the Vanderbilt game because they couldn't convert a third and one and a fourth and one with two guys who are going to play in the NFL. Why? Because of the offensive line. Mm-hmm. They lost 86 starts off of that offensive line. That's what a lot of people don't remember. They will be more talented on the offensive line. They really will. They've got six really talented freshmen coming in, but they're freshmen and it's hard to make a living. So Georgia's, that's the concern I have for Georgia and why right now I'm not picking them to win the East. I'm picking Florida because of the concerns I have about the offensive line.
When you talk to Kirby Smart and Eason, I mean, he's pretty much said, look, Eason's our guy going forward. You know Fromm's got the talent. Would there be any chance at all that Jake Fromm might somehow find a red shirt this season where they can ride Eason and Ramsey?
Well, and that's the thing. The fact that Ramsey came back to school gives them sort of a safety valve. It's something that makes it where if Eason gets dinged up, they don't have to play him. Mm-hmm. That's what you hate is to waste a redshirt. But the question is, Fromm is such a talent. He has such a great football IQ. Mm-hmm. Do you play him? And I think mm-hmm. that's one of the things we're going to be watching all year long. And where is Georgia in the season? Does Eason struggle? Does he go through a slump? That's why the head coaches make the big bucks.
Yeah, no doubt about it. As we're talking with Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football himself, former president and member of the Football Writers Association Hall of Fame. You can check out his website, TonyBarnhart.com, also GridironNow.com. Tony, I know you spent a good bit of time with Will Muschamp down in Columbia this spring, and you know I know it's different this time getting ready for year two, but how much confidence does Will Muschamp have in his football team right now versus this time last year? The fact that he's found the long-term answer at starting quarterback in Jake Bentley.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. They found a quarterback. All of the skill players, the good skill players, are young. You know, Debo Samuel, Hayden Hurst, tight end. The young running back. I mean, they've got some skilled people, and they're going to be pretty good on offense. Mm-hmm. The defense, of course, was the issue a year ago, and the hope is with Sky Moore back, they'll be a little bit more solid there, and they've got to find some more defensive linemen. That's the last thing that Coach Muschamp left me with when I went to see him in the spring, is they've got to find more defensive linemen. But they could absolutely – I expect them to be a bowl team this year. But they're going to have to get some more depth on the defensive line if they're going to have a really challenge for anything.
Is South Carolina an 8-win team this season?
I don't know. I think that's pretty close. That's mm-hmm. really the ceiling, kind of where they're going to be. I mean, you sit there and look at the schedule. I'm telling you right now, NC State is one of the most underrated teams in the ACC. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to be a lot better than people think. So I think that's a tough opener for them. I mean, Missouri, they got to go Missouri. Missouri's, averaging 500 yards a game. And Kentucky's going to be good. I just think it's a tough schedule. It's hard to see them getting the 8 wins. It really is.
All right, as we're talking with Tony Barnhart. Tony, there's pressure every season on coaches across this league, whether you want to put them on the proverbial hot seat or not. But Kevin Sumlin might lead the way with the hottest seat of them all. No, Butch Jones has got a little heat up there in Knoxville. But you had a really good piece on Gridiron Now. Where you take a look into the Sumlin tenure behind the numbers there in College Station, the one thing that just stands out is the Aggies, post-Johnny Manziel, this is a team that just struggles closing out games and finishing a season where they've gotten off to hot starts, but they cannot close. Is it a matter of Kevin Sumlin finding toughness in his football team, because they don't seem like they're like an SEC tough team?
Well, it's a couple of things. One is depth, mm-hmm. because depth is where when you find out in November when you're all beat up, you've got enough players to play. Number two, he completely redid his strength and conditioning staff. And I asked him when I sat in his office, I said, look, is the strength and conditioning, is that a component of these November swoons? He said it absolutely is. He said that and a lack of depth. And so that is the key. A lot of people forget that when the first college football playoff rankings came out last year, Texas A&M was number four, mm-hmm. okay, with a loss to Alabama. And had they won out, they would have been right there. And so they have got to play better in November, and they got to find depth, and they've got to get it's the mental toughness and a physical toughness in November.
All right, we're going to talk with our good friend Danny Sheridan coming up at 5:05, Tony. But Danny said, and you may have seen it, he thinks Gus Malzahn's got a lot of pressure on him at Auburn this year, where he's got to beat either Alabama or Georgia, two teams that he's gone 0-6 against the last three seasons. How much pressure has Gus Malzahn got on him? Because history suggests that Auburn is going to have a bounce-back season this year.
Well, listen, everybody coaches in this league is coaching under pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody except Nick Saban is year to year. I mean, let's face it. But I will say this, if Jarrett Stidham, the quarterback, the transfer from Baylor, is what they think he is and what he's shown to be in practice, then Auburn is probably going to be the second-best team in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Because everywhere else, they are deep. They're very deep in the backfield. They have a veteran offensive line. This group of receivers was recruited 2 years ago, and they're going to be good, and the defense is going to be good, even though they lose Carl Lawson. So, it's all got to happen. They got to play the games. They got to go to Clemson second week of the season. We'll find out, but I think Auburn's got a chance to be a pretty good football team.
All right, Tony, before we let you go, give me a surprise/breakout player. Give me one on offense, one on defense here in the SEC for the 2017 season.
Well, yeah, that's one of those things that's really hard to do, but I think people you need to look for a guy like Benny Snell from Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
Saheem King, who's a guy who's going to be backing him up. I think a guy like Terry Beckner Jr. at Missouri, if he can stay healthy, he's going to be a special player. I think Georgia keep Najee Harris goes to Alabama as the fourth best running back, and before the season is over, he'll probably be the first number one running back. This guy is special. So there's a lot of new faces coming this year, but you know what? That happens in the SEC every year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Tony, I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb. You're going to go with Alabama, Florida when the smoke clears to play in Atlanta third year in a row?
Well, that's how I feel now, but I hadn't been to media days yet. And I hadn't been to media days, and I haven't made my August tour, and I haven't done a lot of things. But right now I like Florida and Alabama.
Well, Tony, you're one of the best, certainly, for what you do. Appreciate all your time. Everybody can check you out, gridironnow.com, tonybarnhart.com. Certainly your work with the SEC Network and on Twitter, at Mr. CFB. Tony, always a pleasure. Have a lot of fun next week in Hoover, my friend.
All right, Price, thanks.
Thank you so much, Tony. Ask Tony Barnhart. I'm telling you, he is one of the best ones. Always a pleasure when we get a few minutes of his time before he gets to the Winfrey, because it's going to be a big week next week. Talking season is here. All right, when we come back, was there a fight that was fixed last weekend? Was it fixed? One fighter says yes. I'll tell you about it when we come back here on Straight Up with Sturge. Atta baby, rocking along Thursday afternoon. Price Atkinson and Gray, we are taking you through till 7 o'clock. We'll be in tomorrow for the vacationing. Mark B. Sturgis, as he is on a boat somewhere, breathing that warm saltwater air, having some fun, taking some time away. Don't forget, coming up in the next segment, our good friend, the great one, Danny Sheridan, USA Today sports handicapper, analyst, going to give us all his college football odds for the national championship, the ACC, the SEC, the Heisman Trophy, and we're also, he's going to get one of his favorite things, or one of our favorite things especially, his worst 10 to 15 Power 5 teams that he puts out in Cigar Aficionado magazine every season. You'd be surprised to see some of the teams that are on this list this year. So we'll ask Danny Sheridan about that live in the next segment, coming up at 5:05. At 6:05, we'll talk with Dave Shore, longtime Los Angeles Lakers pregame host, also used to do pregame in-game with the Dallas Mavericks, former morning show host. We're going to talk with Dave Shore at 6:05. And David Hood from TigerNet, will close things out with him at 6:35. A little bit later in the show, we'll tell you what's ahead, certainly for tomorrow. We got another big one ahead tomorrow afternoon. But appreciate Tony Barnhart joining us in that last segment. You want to get in with us, 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. All right, Gray, mentioned on the way out, I don't know if you watched the fight last week, and I thought the fact that the Manny Pacquiao fight and Jeff Horn was on ESPN was awesome. The fact that it was on where everybody could see it back in the day, like in Wild World of Sports on Saturday afternoon on ABC, where you could actually see the best of the best fighting on regular television without shelling out $100 like you're going to have to do for Mayweather and McGregor, which is going to be a joke and a half.
Yeah, I was about to ask you. I couldn't believe that. I didn't have to pay $60 to watch it?
No, you didn't have to pay a dime to watch it. It was fantastic, and it was a fantastic fight on top of it. The problem was that Manny Pacquiao got hosed. He got hosed big time. Now, I was out most of the day, and I didn't get to see it live. So I went back Sunday night, and I watched it for the first time. I stayed dark. I heard there was some controversy. I didn't see the exact winner. So I said, okay, I'm going to score this. So I just scored it sitting there. And to me, there were a couple rounds that could have been gone either way. But I thought Pacquiao won the fight. And I think by and large, most people think Manny Pacquiao beat Jeff Horn in Brisbane. But Manny Pacquiao came out today. He was pretty measured afterwards, after the loss. And sometimes that's kind of the opposite of what you get from an athlete after they've lost. You'll get, you know, hadn't had time to process it. You just kind of let the emotions take over. But Manny Pacquiao was pretty stoic in the ring afterwards and said, basically, it is what it is. Want a rematch. You know, didn't agree with the result, but, you know, definitely would have wanted to fight Jeff Horn again. Well, just last night and yesterday, Manny Pacquiao was anything but measured. He basically said he thought the fight was fixed. He said, quote, the referee wasn't competent and I felt I was set up. Asked about that, he said the judging was, quote, horrible, end quote. Then he was asked, who set him up? Pacquiao cryptically replied, quote, let's not get into that, end quote. Now, the fight was held in Brisbane, Australia, Jeff Horn's hometown. If you watched the fight, you saw Mark Nelson, the referee, really allow the fight. He let the fight get too physical. I mean, Mark Nelson let the fight. He let Horn tactically, you know, throw forearms and elbows, a lot of physical contact on Manny Pacquiao. Pacquiao was busted open a couple times on his forehead. But if you watch the fight, it was clear, crystal, that Manny Pacquiao beat Jeff Horn. It was clear. And Manny Pacquiao coming out and saying he was set up, what that screams to me is the fight was fixed, and this is the last thing boxing needs. Now, he's not saying the word fixed, because that's dangerous, but he's saying he was set up. Now, the setup was clearly in Brisbane. The guy was fighting in his hometown. You had a couple judges, three to be exact, who weren't even considered to be even the top 10 among judges or referees, Mark Nelson for that matter, guys that weren't even at the best of the best at what they do. It was a B-League crew working a fight that was, you know, worldwide exposure on the worldwide leader. So part of it, you get what you get. I mean, it's one of those things where you go and spend some money for you decide you want to go cheap on a product. You know, you get what you pay for. But in this case, Manny Pacquiao was tagged with a loss that he should not have gotten tagged with. Now, the Philippines Sports Commission, they have asked the WBO, they have come out and made a formal request because he dropped the WBO welterweight title to Jeff the Hornet Horn on Saturday in Brisbane. Actually, technically, that was Sunday afternoon over there, but our Saturday night. That he has asked for a review, the WBO, to review the fight. Now, the chances of it being overturned aren't very good. I think what you probably get is a mandated rematch, and there's a rematch clause in the contract. But that, what I watched, I don't know if you saw it. It was a travesty. And I'm not trying to go out there and just, you know, pump Manny Pacquiao. Look, we got hosed on the Pacquiao Mayweather fight. Sometimes guys' fights just are not going to be what we hype them to be. That fight, Mayweather Pacquiao, was hyped to be what was going to be one of the greatest pound for pound fights we've ever had. Coincidentally, this fight, I should say, excuse me, the show or sham of this McGregor Mayweather garbage, you're going to have to shell out $100 to watch all the undercard, and you're going to be lucky, in my book, if you get more than, I'll say 180 seconds, 90 seconds maybe, of actual fighting between Mayweather and McGregor. It's simply a show, and that's what it is. But this was a darn good fight on Saturday night, last Saturday, Manny Pacquiao and Jeff Horn, where he was robbed. And I don't agree with Stephen A. Smith on many things, Gray. But he was robbed. Did you watch any? Did you see any of the fight on ESPN?
I did not see any.
All right. Well, it was fantastic. The good news is ESPN is scheduled. Now, I'll say this. I like Joe Tessitore. He does a great job college football, but damn, lose the Rocky references. It was awesome. It was on regular television. We didn't have to shell out all the money to see it. But just Joe Tessitore, lose the Rocky references, please. We had enough of them during the 4+ hours, I felt like, to fill an entire Rocky movie. All right. College football, we're getting into it here in the next hour again. Danny Sheridan, USA Today sports handicapper and analyst. He's going to give us his odds for the upcoming season. That's in the next segment. Our good friend Danny Sheridan, we're going to talk about it with him, and he's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.